appreciate that. That was a blessing. I had asked Brother Sherry earlier in the week if they would sing something before I preach. I appreciate Brother and Mrs. Sherry and their faithfulness to the Lord. And I'm thankful songs like that mean something to them. It means something to them because they've been through some things and they've seen the faithfulness of God and His grace. And there's always just something sweet to me about just an older couple that's lived for God and loved the Lord, just kind of getting up and singing together. So I asked them to sing tonight, and I really appreciate that. And thank God for His grace. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Thank you for being here tonight. Appreciate a good crowd on a Sunday night. It's a blessing. Luke chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse number 26. The Bible says, "And in the sixth month the angel of Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day, God. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And God, I thank you for your grace. Lord, I know I probably haven't been through nearly as much as some of the people in this auditorium tonight or sanctuary tonight have been, but Lord, I've experienced your grace. Lord, I've experienced you being there for me when I need you, God, and I thank you so much for it, Father. Not because I deserved it, not because I was owed it, but because you're just full of grace and mercy and love, and I thank you for that, God. And tonight, Lord, I need your help. God, I'm hurting a little bit, and God, I need some grace tonight to preach this message. Lord, to get my flesh out of the way, to get my mind focused on you, Lord, to hopefully bring forth something that could be a blessing and a help or a challenge or whatever it needs to be to the group here tonight that's gathered to hear from you. And Lord, I plead the blood of Christ, and Lord, I'm thankful that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And God, I'm pleading that blood now, asking that, Lord, you'd cleanse me. Lord, you'd empty me of sin, self, and pride, and God, anything that would hide your face or power tonight. And Lord, you'd fill me with the words I need to say, with the heart I need to preach, with the wisdom of what to say and what not to say. And God, as I've said so many times, Lord, this is all going to be in vain tonight if this is just me getting up here and saying some words. And Lord, I can have the best outline and the best scriptures to turn to and all those types of things, but God, if you're not in this, it doesn't mean anything. And God, I don't want these people leaving here tonight just talking about how it was a good message or thinking about what I did. But God, I wanted to leave here thinking about how you spoke to them. And God, how you did something in their heart to make a change or make a difference. And so, Lord, that's what we need tonight. God, that's what I need. That's what these folks gathered here need. And Lord, that's only going to happen with your hand being on this message tonight. So, Father, please, Lord, help me. God, I don't want to do this by my power. I can't do this in my own power. And Lord, just use this in a great and mighty way tonight for your glory and honor. Lord, help me to preach as a dying man, as dying men tonight, as a dying man to dying men. And Lord, like I said, that you'd receive all the glory and honor and praise because you're the one that is worthy and the one that deserves it. And Father, I'm praying this, trusting and expecting, and Lord, relying on you that you're going to answer my prayer. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we come here to Luke chapter 1, and we find that the angel Gabriel appears unto Mary. And we know the story of the prophecy that she tells Mary that she's going to bear a son. It's going to be the Savior of the world. But as we read down through here and some of these things that the angel says to Mary, we find in this passage that Mary had favor with God. That Mary had favor with God. In verse number 28, the Bible says, "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." And so not just was Mary favored, but the Bible says she was highly favored. And in verse number 30 again, the Bible says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." And so not just once, but twice it's said that Mary has favor with God. And if you look up favor in the dictionary, favor means a disposition or an attitude to aid, befriend, support, promote, or justify. A disposition to aid, befriend, support, promote, or justify. And so the favor of God is man having that disposition of God or that attitude of God towards you. And I would say tonight that's a pretty good thing to have. That's something I want in my life, is that God to look at me on that way, to want to aid or befriend or support or promote or justify me. And that's what we find that Mary had, that she was a favored woman. And once again, not just a favored woman, but a highly favored woman. And I think about some things when I think about being favored by God. From what we find in this passage, and just as I've watched Christians over the years and heard stories and watched people and that type of thing. But when I think of being favored by God, I think of hearing from and being led by God. When I think of someone who's favored by God, I think of someone that hears from the Lord, that is led by God and has a close relationship with Him, that has a closeness to Him. In verse 26, the Bible says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." You know what we find here? That God spoke to Mary through the angel. Right? That the Lord had enough favor for Mary to say, "Hey, I want to tell you something, right? I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to lead and guide you of what you're going to do and what's going to happen," and all those types of things. And that's a great thing to have. Over in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not in thine understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." And what a great thing tonight to have that kind of favor with God, right? To have a closeness with the Lord, right? That when I open up my Bible, I can have confidence that God's going to speak to me through it. That when I need some directions, when I have a decision to make or something big's coming up, that I can come to God and talk to God, and I have enough favor that He's going to show me the way that I need to go. That's a great thing to have. And hey, God is faithful to guide you when you have His favor. Right? When you have favor with God, God's not going to leave you hanging. God's not going to leave you to yourself or just say, "Oh, just figure it out." He's faithful. And that's what I think of when I think of favor, hearing from and being led by God. I don't just think of that, though. When I think of being favored by God, I also think of being blessed by God. Being blessed by God. In verse number 28, the Bible says, "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." The angel tells Mary, hey, you're a blessed woman among women, right? Of everyone, you are blessed. I think of the blessings of God. I think of how when someone's blessed, that God is going to take care of and do some great things for them. That doesn't mean, you know, the prosperity preaching of, you know, you'll have $1 million and the nicest vehicles and the nicest house. But man, the blessings of God are a good thing to have. That God takes care of you, that God provides for you, that God uses you, that God is there for you when you need Him. That's an awesome thing if you keep your spot here, but go over to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles 28, I'll use my manly purple piece of paper to mark my spot here. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. In verse number 2. The Bible says, "Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Howbeit the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father. And among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel." When I think of David, I think of a man that had favor with God. He even says here, hey, God liked me, right? I had the favor of God. I had the pleasure of God in my life. And because of that, God chose me out of all Israel to be king of Israel. He said he could have chose anybody or done something with that somebody, but he said he chose me. You know why? Because he was blessed by God. And he was blessed by God because he had the favor of God. And I'm thankful for the blessings of the Lord this evening. I'm thankful for the times in my life when God's been good to me and shown me His blessings. You know what makes me want to do it? Makes me want to have favor with God because I want to be blessed. Amen. I want the Lord to take care of me. I want the Lord to be there for me. And once again, it doesn't mean everything you want you get. David even says here, he says, my heart was to build the temple, but God said no. But I'm still blessed by God. Right? God's still been good to me because He liked me, because He had favor. When I think of being favored by God, I think of being blessed by God. There's probably more we could talk about, but lastly, when I think about being favored by God, I think of being used by God. I think of being used by God. In verse number 30 of Luke chapter 1, the Bible says, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Understand that Mary was favored by God, and because she was favored by God, she was used by God. Where she says, hey Mary, I'm going to use you to bring forth my son into the world. Right? I'm going to do a great thing through you. And not just being used by God, but being used in a miraculous way. It was a miracle how Mary how God used Mary. In verse number 34, the Bible says, I'm in the wrong place. Verse number 34, it says, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Mary wasn't just used by God, but she was used in a miraculous way. In a way that was impossible without God, right? You can't have a baby. She couldn't have a baby without knowing a man. But God said, I'm going to use you in a way that's a miracle. Right, that man couldn't do, that man couldn't perform. But she had the favor of God, and so God used her in that way. Hey, I want the favor of God because I want to be used by God in a great way. I want God to like me. I want God to have pleasure in me and have favor in me. You know why? Because I want to be used for Him. I want Him to use me to affect some people for the cause of Jesus Christ. I want God to use me to make a difference in someone's life. And I don't just want to be used, but I want to be used in a miraculous way, amen. That when God looks at it, they know it's not because Aaron Riddle or because Aaron Riddle is anything special, but they look and say, God had to do this because God's the only one that could do it. I remember back when I've used this illustration and said about this before, but when I was a young man, I'm thankful my dad took us to different meetings and camp meetings and revival meetings and all that kind of stuff. And I remember as a young boy going to these meetings and seeing God's favor and God's hand upon some of these men of God. And man, these men of God would get up and they'd sing and the Holy Spirit would just move and people would rejoice in the Lord. And these guys would preach. And I saw how it affected other people and I saw how it affected me. How it made a difference in my life. And how the Lord used it in my life. And you know what I came to? I said, God, I want that. Lord, I want to be used by God. Lord, I know I'm unworthy and I deserve, but I want to be the one that can get up and preach it, help and change someone else's life for the cause of Christ. I want to be able to get up and sing and it cause some joy and some praise in some people's heart for how good you are. Man, I wanted the favor of God because I want to be used by God. And the point being is that God's favor is a great thing and it's something that we should have a desire and a longing for. Can I ask you this evening, Christian, do you have a desire or a longing for the favor of God? Do you ask God and say, God, give me your favor, Lord. I want to be close to you. I want to be led by you. I want to hear from you. God, I want to be blessed by you. God, I want you to use me. And when's the last time you prayed and asked God to use you? When's the last time you asked for the favor of God? I think about over in Genesis 32, verses 24 through 30, where Jacob wrestles with the Lord. And they wrestle all night until the morning, and the sun's coming up, and the Lord tells Jacob, let me go, I'm leaving. You know what Jacob says? He says, I will not let thee go unless you bless me. He said, God, I'm going to stay on you until you bless me. It'd be good for Christianity today, some Christians that would wrestle with the Lord and say, God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. God, I'm not going to quit reading my Bible until you show me something. God, I'm not going to get off my knees off an altar or at home on my chair and praying until, God, I know that I have your power. Lord, that I know I have your favor. Right? We need that today in Christianity. I think of over in Exodus chapter 33, 15 through 17, where God's speaking with Moses. And Moses says, paraphrase, God, I need you. He says, carry us, unless your presence go with me, carry us up not hence. Basically saying, Lord, I'm not going to go with these Israelites unless I know I have you with me. Where's our attitude with that today? Once again, God, I'm not going to get off my knees this morning until I know I have your presence with me to face this day. So you say about delighting in God's word, God, I'm not going to quit reading my Bible until I know you've given me something, and God, I know it's from you, and I know I have you with me right now for the day. God, I'm about to preach. I'm about to teach a Sunday school class. God, I'm about to sing a special. I'm about to go out and pass out tracts. I'm going to go talk to my friend about the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, I'm not going to quit begging you for your power, for your favor, until I know that you're with me. Amen. I think we're lacking that today. And I think a part of it goes back to not having a desire, a longing for the favor of God. We've kind of forgotten how important it is and how much we need it. So once again, what does the favor of God mean to you? Mary had God's favor, and you and I should want it. Amen. But as we think about God's favor, kind of switching viewpoints tonight of this message, and hopefully you pray for God's favor and you want God's favor and you've asked the Lord for His favor, but can I ask you tonight, have you ever considered the cost of the favor of God? Have you ever considered the cost of the favor of God? You know, at least as I look at my own life, I like to say that rarely do we associate difficulties or hardship with the favor of God. And I'm not saying that's like wrong of us, because we just talked about all the good things that happen with the favor of God, right? Like, we have the favor of God, we're going to be close to God, and God's going to lead us, and God's going to guide us. And when we have the favor of God, we're going to be blessed, and God's going to take care of us. And when we have the favor of God, He's going to use... And that's all part of the favor of God. But do we ever think about the cost of it? Do we ever associate difficulties and hardship and tribulation with the favor of God? In fact, I would say many times we think it's a sign that we don't have the favor of God when we face difficulties and hardships. Because we feel like, well, favor of God's a good thing, right? Like, if I have the favor of God, it might have to be perfect, but it's all going to come together and it's all going to be fine and I'm going to have joy and peace and life's going to be good. But what happens when it isn't? And as I look at this lady, Mary, you remember, wasn't just favored, but highly favored. This was a woman that had the favor of God. She faced some difficulties. She faced some hardships. I'd like you to think about some things tonight. Mary was highly favored, but she was almost put away by Joseph. Did you ever think of that? I mean, this angel comes to her and says, hey, I'm going to use you to bring the Savior of the world. Right, you're highly favored. Right, Mary, this is a great... But you ever consider the implications of what would have happened with Joseph? Because, I mean, we read the story, we know how it ends out, and it all ends up good. But, like, think of that from a human perspective. Right, the man that she cares about the most, the man that she loves the most, well, all of a sudden she's got to go to him and say, hey, I'm pregnant with a child, and he knows it's not his. There was probably at the very least some fear about what was going to happen with that. And as I look in Luke, I don't see anywhere where the angel tells Mary that Joseph's a part of the plan. So he doesn't have an assurance that Joseph is going to be there. And just as a person, once again, I want to be careful not to read things in, but am I going to have to do this alone? Because the Bible says in Matthew, right, that he was minded to put her away privily. Like, he had a plan. I'm putting her away. I'm done with her. And praise the Lord, he was godly enough to try to do it in a right way. But you don't think that was a little difficult for Mary probably to go through? At the very least, a fear of what's going to happen with the man that I love the most whenever he finds out with this favor of God. But she had to go through that. She had to face that. Mary was highly favored, but she had to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem while 9 months pregnant. Was looking up, Nazareth to Bethlehem in a straight shot is 70 miles. And so back in that day, by donkey, it probably would have taken 3 to 4 days to travel that length. Now look, I'm not pregnant. I'm never going to get pregnant. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's a good preaching right there. But from what I've seen and heard people talk about, and ladies, you can attest to this, being pregnant and being 9 months pregnant isn't the most comfortable thing. It's kind of bothersome. And even in today's comfort and luxury and houses and cars, like, it's still uncomfortable. Could you imagine traveling at least 70 miles for 3 to 4 days on a donkey while you're 9 months pregnant and just about ready to give birth? Once again, I've never experienced pregnancy, but to me that sounds like something that'd be really miserable. I mean, it'd probably be bad enough in today's day and age if you had to travel 70 miles while pregnant in a car, but you're on a stinking donkey. And it's not smooth highway the entire way to Bethlehem. Honestly, that was probably one of the most miserable times in our life. I'm just trying to think of this from a human perspective. I mean, she's highly favored, right? And to my mind, well, then God's going to bring a chariot or God's going to bring guys with a thing to carry her there and it's going to be... Nope. What if she ever thought about that? Well, she's on a stinking donkey and it's smelly and it's hot or whatever the weather was like and she's traveling all this way thinking... I'm supposed to be favored by God. I got to go through this. Mary was highly favored, but she was rejected at the inn and had to give birth to her child in basically a barn. After being probably tired and worn out and comfortable, finally get to Bethlehem and probably finally thinking, okay, like, praise the Lord, this is over, right? We're done. Can't wait to get in a room, get in what was once again probably not like the luxury they have today. It wasn't, you know, the Hampton Inn. Knock on the door. Man, I can't wait to just get off this stinking donkey. Sorry, got no room. You can't stay here. If I was Mary or Joseph, I probably would have had a fit. Like, are you serious? You will make a way. I will grab someone and kick them out so we can have a room if need be. Do you think it's probably hard for Mary to think when she's like, what? I'm favored by God. I mean, God told me I was and I can't get a room in an inn? Now I have to go out to a manger with a bunch of animals while 9 months pregnant and then have to give birth to your child probably on a dirt or dirty floor that a bunch of animals have walked on and gone to the bathroom on. Yeah, I'm highly favored. This is amazing. Probably not. It was probably a little difficult. Once again, I try to be careful, but I'm just trying to look at this from a human perspective. Because once again, highly favored, well, that means we'd have the nicest room, the nicest bed, the best doctor in Bethlehem to come, because we're highly favored. We're blessed. Nope. Go have your baby in a manger. Mary was highly favored, but to protect her child from a wicked king, she had to flee from her home at night to a different country. Over in Matthew chapter 2. And things are probably looking pretty good for Mary, right? I mean, all that's over with. She has Jesus. It's been, whatever, a year, 2 years. You know, they're back at their home. And even, man, these wise men come and they bring gifts. So probably she's like, here we go. Finally, that favor that I was told about, right? These people I don't even know, they're coming and bringing me gold and frankincense and myrrh. This is it, right? This is the good life. And then they leave, and then one night she gets, Mary, wake up. What's going on? Mary, get what you can. We got to leave. We got to go. We got to flee because someone's coming to kill Jesus. Put yourself in that spot. Right? Ladies, how much would you enjoy it if tonight your husband woke you up out of the blue with no warning, no, hey, we got 6 months of, but hey, we got to go to Mexico or Canada. Could you imagine leaving pretty much everything you know in your home and your belongings and your possessions and just packing up quick and leaving for your life? Wasn't just like, you know, Joseph was like, hey, I think Egypt has a nice weather this time of year. But because God warned him in a dream and said, hey, someone's coming to kill, go. And it says, in the night. God, where's your favor? Right? God, this doesn't seem like highly favored to me. But Mary had to go through it. I'm sure there's other things, but lastly, Mary was highly favored, but she had to endure the mocking, ridicule, and crucifixion of her son. Now, I'm not a mom, I'm not a parent. But think about her. I mean, the one that she watched grow, the one that is the Son of God, the one who came to save his people from their sins. And now he's hanging on a cross, and the people he came to die for and to love and to save are mocking him and ridiculing him, and he's getting whipped and beat and lied about and pretty much tortured. Ladies, would that be hard for you to see your son go through that? I would imagine so. Probably pretty difficult. Probably thinking, God, all this favor. I mean, hopefully she paid attention to what Jesus had said and trusted. But the disciples heard all that. I don't know what was going through Mary's mind. I don't know how hard it is, but I'm sure either in some way, shape, or form, it was difficult for Mary to go through. The highly favored one. The favored one of God. Just trying to say, hey, sometimes with favor, there's a cost. Sometimes with favor, there's some difficulties you have to go through. What about Joseph? I think of how Joseph was favored. Right? Beginning of his life, I mean, he's given two dreams by the Lord showing him that you're going to be worshipped by people, right? They're going to bow down to you. You're going to be a ruler. You're going to be magnified. You're going to be exalted. Thinking, oh, yeah, like if I'm Joseph, I'm like, yeah, let's go. Right? My loser brothers, they're going to bow down to me. Right? Like, that's favor, right? That's what we think of favor. That we think of good. Twice in the story of Joseph, it says that God was with him. Joseph had God's favor. You know what God's favor got him? Being betrayed by his brothers. You know what God's favor got him? Being sold into slavery. You know what God's favor got him? Being lied about and probably beat and then cast into prison for doing the right thing. You know what God's favor got him? Being forgotten about for 2 years in a prison when he helped someone out. Once again, just trying to put myself in Joseph's spot, I'm sure there was probably some times where I would be like, God, did you tell me I was favored? Like, is this really favor? Is this really? Because it's difficult. It's hard. But he had to go through it. There's a lot of people we could talk about tonight. But the last one I'll talk about is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was favored. In Luke chapter 2, verse number 52, the Bible says about how Jesus increased in learning and in favor with God and man. And in Matthew 3, verses 16 and 17, when he has his baptism, it says, the Spirit of God is descending like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I don't think it's a stretch or false to say that Jesus Christ had the favor of God. Jesus was favored and he was well favored, but he had a wilderness. Over in Matthew chapter 4, which says he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You know what he did in the wilderness? Fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Man, I can't go 4 hours without eating before I feel like I'm going to die. But you know, Jesus, he had a denying of his flesh. Right? That sounds terrible. I can imagine doing half of that or like a quarter of that. What if he was out in the wilderness thinking like, man, God's favor is terrible. Right? Because he was led of the Spirit. He did what God... And then after that, the devil comes to him and starts tempting him. I don't feel very favored by God when the devil starts throwing stuff up in my face and tempting me and trying to bring me down. But that's what Jesus Christ went through. Brother Sherry mentioned in men's prayer breakfast about the song, Oh, to be like thee. We want to be like Jesus, right? We would all say, I want to be favored like Jesus. I want to be like Christ. Well, you know what Christ had? He had a wilderness. Jesus was favored, but he had a Gethsemane. He had a Gethsemane. He had a place of the surrender of his will to the Father's. Because once again, you know what a lot of times that we think of when we think of favor, like, I mean, we would probably never say this, but like, things are going to work out my way, how I want it, it's all going to come together in my thought process. It's just natural. You know what Jesus had to do? Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Like, God, I really don't want to do this to the point where his sweat is great drops of blood. Not an easy time, not a fun time. Like, oh yeah, Lord, I'm just ready to die. And it's, God, I don't want this. But Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Surrender to the will of the Father. As difficult as it was. He was favored, but he had to Gethsemane. He had to go through that. Jesus was favored, but he had a Judas. He was betrayed by someone he loved. A man he walked with, a man he ministered to, a man he provided for, a man he chose specifically. And yet in Luke 22, it's in the garden. This crowd comes up. What are you doing, Judas? Because Judas betrays thou the Son of Man with a kiss. I've been there. Some of you have been there. I know those folks right there have been there. You don't feel very favored by God when people you love and care for betray and hurt you. But Jesus had to go through it. Jesus had to face it. And he was well favored by God. And Jesus was favored, but he had a Calvary. I don't think of this stuff. When I think of favor, I don't think of Jesus being on a cross after being tortured and beaten and bruised and almost ready to die, cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That does not sound like the favor of God to me. But yet the Bible tells me that he was well favored. That God said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. But yet even in spite of that, he had a Calvary. And the point I'm just trying to make with all of this is, have you considered the cost of being favored? You know why Mary went through all those things? Because she was favored. Because she had the Son of God. I'm not saying her life would have been perfect, wasn't a problem, but she didn't have this Jesus. She's not there. She doesn't go through those things. But she was favored. You know why Joseph went through all those terrible things? Because he was favored. Because God said, I have a plan for you and a purpose for you and something I'm going to do something with you in your life with. And so because of it, Joseph, you got to go through all this. You know why Jesus went through all those things? Because he was favored by God. Because he had the ultimate purpose and plan from the Lord for his life. And what I'm afraid of many times in our lives is we hear about the favor of God, and we hear about the preaching of the favor of God, read the Bible about the favor of God, and praise the Lord, hopefully we want the favor of God. Hopefully we come to God and say, Lord, I want your favor. God, I want to be close to you. I want to be led by you. I want to hear from you. God, I want to be blessed by you. God, I want to be used by you. God, use me. And then they'll come down to an order. I'll come down to an order. And God, I want your favor. And then you know what happens? The cost comes. I've heard it said before that before God can greatly use a man, he must first greatly break that man. And God says, okay, you want the favor of God? Here's some things you got to go through. Here's some things you got to face. And I think one of two things happen. Christians face those things and they go, well, this favor of God stuff must be a sham. This must not be real. Like, how can I have the favor of God and face this or go through? I don't want anything to do with this. And then it doesn't become important to them. Or they quit on the Lord, or they maybe will come to church, but like, I'm just come to church and kind of sit here and be here and do my duty, but I don't really care about being used or being close, or I'm here because I know what I'm supposed to do. Or they get discouraged. And they get depressed because they feel like, well, man, I really want the favor of God in my life, and I really want to be used by God, and I'm begging God. And these stuff, what's wrong with me? Why is God letting this happen to me? Why can't I get God's... It's not that you don't have the favor of God. It's that there's a cost for the favor of God. There's some things you got to go through if you want the favor of God. Have you considered the cost? And you know what? There was a cost, and there were difficulties, and there were hardships, but God's favor was worth it to every single one of them. Make no mistake about it. It is worth it to have the favor of God. I don't care what you face. I don't care what you go through. I don't care what you experience. You ask Mary. You ask Joseph. You ask David. You ask Jesus Christ. It is worth it. All those things, when Jesus is glorified, magnified, I bet Mary's saying, man, it was worth it. It was worth it what I went through, possible of the fear with Joseph. It was worth it to have to go 70 miles while pregnant. It was worth it to have to give birth in a manger. It was worth it to have to flee. It was worth it watching them get crucified. It was worth it. You ask Joseph. And Joseph, yeah, it was hard when I was betrayed. And yeah, it was hard when I was cast into prison. And yeah, it was hard when I was lied about. But it was worth it. My family survived because of it. I survived. My country of Egypt survived because of the favor of God. And yeah, but this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. And we preached about that last time I preached. About the humility I had to show and the obedience. Christ. And yeah, I'm not going to say speak for Jesus, but I'm sure when he looks at Faith Baptist Church tonight and he sees a bunch of people that are saved and going to heaven one day because of his, I'd say Jesus would say it's worth it. God's favor is worth it. But are you willing to pay the cost? If we could have a piano player come to the piano. What about it, Christian? I heard a preacher say long ago, it wasn't about this, but about something, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. It ain't easy having the favor of God. It's the best thing you can have, it's the best decision you'll make to want the favor of God, but it ain't easy. Are you willing to pay the cost? That's just kind of the focal point of the message tonight. What I'm just trying to get across is, first off, is the favor of God important to you? And that's not just for a pastor. I mean, yeah, I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. I want the favor of God, right? I want to get up here and have God use me. But you need the favor of God in your life, whether you're in the ministry or a pastor or just the church. The things that you do, the decisions you make, the people you witness to and have an influence on, the life, the favor of God's worth it. But is it important to you? So I said, when's the last time you asked God for it? When's the last time during your Bible reading and prayer time you said, God, I will not let you go? I remember as a young man coming to an altar and saying, God, I don't fully understand. I don't know, but God, the best I can, God, I'm not going to let you go until I have your favor. God, I'm going to do my best to pray and walk with you and because I want the favor of God. What about you tonight? How important is the favor of God to you? But are you willing to endure the cost of it? Better be careful what you ask for. I can say that from experience. And I would not give it up for anything, and I'm so thankful for how good God's been to me and the way He's used me in spite of myself. But it's not always been easy. You ask that man, he'd say it wasn't always easy. You ask that man, he'd say it wouldn't always be easy. But you ask him, but they'd say it's worth it. It's worth it. But who goeth to war and not counteth the cost? Who goeth to the tower and not counteth the cost? You better be ready for a fight. You better be willing to go through the hardships and the difficulties and the things that God's going to say, hey, I need to refine you so I can give you my favor. I need to do some things in your life to mold me in my image so I can use you and be close with, and all those types of things. And are you ready for it? Are you willing to face it? But I'd also just like to maybe say, maybe someone's here tonight, maybe you feel like you don't have the favor of God. Because you're going through some things, you're like, God, I've been trying to come after you, I've been trying to ask for your help, I've been trying to be you, and God, I want your, but why is my life not seem like I have favor? Well, I can't give you the exact reason, but God has a reason for it. And yeah, we should at times, right? We should at times be like, okay, God, I need to check my heart and make sure my life is right. Sometimes it is because we're in sin or not doing right that God doesn't give us his favor. But sometimes you can be doing everything that you're supposed to be doing, and God was pleased with Mary through all those things. God was pleased through Joseph through all those things. God was pleased with Jesus Christ through all those things, but they still went through them. And don't let the devil beat you up and run you down because you feel like, well, my life should be so much better if I had the favor of God. Maybe you're just going through the things that God can use to get you to that point where he really can use you or show you some things or help you or draw you closer to him. I don't know. I'm talking about the favor of God tonight. So heads bowed, eyes closed, the instruments play. If you need to do business with the Lord, you spend some time with God, whether you need to come to an altar or in your chair or whatever the Lord led you to do. But is the favor of God important to you tonight? And are you willing to pay the cost of it?